that a blessing? I was listening to him sing, and what a blessing. And he's be 24 years in February that I've been here. And I remember Joe Barry singing when I first got here. He's still good. Amen. Praise God. And I thank the Lord. All you, thank you. We aren't we so blessed to have so many wonderful singers? And Miss Cindy, thank you for playing the piano and today. And Brother Brad, it's good to have you back home. And I know folk down there were blessed to have you. And actually, I know they wanted me to come back again this morning. But he felt led of the Lord to be here with us on homecoming. I appreciate him being here today. And Brother, let me get my mic on here. I apologize. I forgot it. But let me just say again, I thank you for being here today. You've been a blessing all these years. And homecoming is a very special time to me. And I do like every bit of it, all the vegetables, everything else. And me and Joe Barry and LaVon, we try to rush down the table. We can't get there too quickly. But we all that wonderful food, and me and Joe Barry, me and LaVon and Brother Barry, we look for them three-fourths burnt Carolina Packers. In fact, if they're 100% burnt, it's all right with me. But that's your appetite. That is a redneck hors d'oeuvre. Amen. And so, but we'll make up. I want you to open your Bibles this morning. And some of you over these years, you know I've dealt with some of these passages of Scripture before, but God's been so good to us. And Lord laid this on my heart, and I want us to put it on, didn't cut it on. Thank you, Brother Danny. 1, 2, 3, 4. Can y'all hear me now? Yeah. Amen. But thank God for you being here today. Look in your Bible, please, at this wonderful passage of Scripture. Randy Perry is such a blessing to us, and you pray for him. I told you now he was sick all last week in the hospital, and when he preached, you wouldn't be able to tell he was sick. I could tell it in the mornings when I come to get him and through the day. And then on Thursday morning after revival, I took him to the medical supply place up in Dunn. He got him another blood pressure cup and an oxygen sensor. And they want to make sure they keep him monitored real well. He had one. It wasn't functioning properly, didn't think. But anyway, you remember him. They are in, what's that place down there? Tabor City, this for the next few days. And you remember them as he preaches down there. This wonderful passage of Scripture, everything that you see in this chapter, except for the few verses there, is written in red. So this is all one continuous story. He talks about lost things. He's given them parable about a lost sheep and how that sheep goes astray. They're 99 safely in the fold. But he goes and hunts that one lost sheep. And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulder and brings it home and said, "Rejoice with me, this that was lost is found." And that's a wonderful blessing. That's a shepherd going to hunt the sheep. And then there's a picture of a woman who loses that a coin and or out of her crown, and she goes and she lights a candle and she looks for that until she finds it, and when she finds it, she rejoices as well. And that's a type of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And He seeks us. The shepherd seeks us, and the Holy Spirit seeks us. And then the next parable is about the lost son. Now, in my Schofield Bible, it talks about the lost son, but actually there are two sons in the rest of this story. I'm not going to read about all of them, but if you notice that it's the father who has a burden for them, and he's for that son, and he's anticipating his return. And so you have the shepherd, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have the bride, the woman there, who is a type of the Holy Spirit of God, and then you have the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all want us to be saved, want you to be saved. And so quite often we preach this passage of Scripture, and it's redirected toward lost people. But I want us this morning to look at this latter part of this chapter in regard to Christians. There's nothing in the world like being close to the Lord. I used to say, and it's still true, the most miserable person in Johnson County is not those who are lost. It is Christians who are out of fellowship with Him. Lost people are dead in trespasses and sin. They think they're having a good time. Sometimes the consequences of sin affect them and bring them down, and they're in despair. They may reap the results of sin in their body, and they die an agonizing death. But during their life, the people who are the most uncomfortable, the most lack of peace, are Christians who are out of fellowship with God. Of all the things that I battle with and I long for more than anything else is to have a right relationship with Him. I want to be able to walk with Him, talk with Him, and be right with Him. And so with that in view, let's begin reading at chapter 12 of verse Luke chapter 15. Did I ever tell you what chapter? Luke chapter, my wife says you do that all the time. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I'll give you a minute to find it. And then verse number 12. Well, let me read verse number 11 to set the stage because it does mention the fact of two sons. We're just going to deal with one today. Notice Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he'd spent all, there arose a great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against thee, sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but, boy, I love that word, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But he didn't even get to finish his statement. The father stopped him at the word son. He said, but the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kid it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Father, I want to thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for homecoming. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming together during this time of the year to remember the blessings of God in the past. And Lord, those who've been saved and been added to this fellowship, and we just rejoice in those, our Father, who've been here for many, many years, and for those you've added in just the last few weeks. Lord, we all rejoice together that God, you brought us to a place, to a church that we can call home. We have a church home. God, we want to thank you too that you blessed us all with physical homes. We have wonderful families and blessings of God. Lord, we are so thankful for our physical home. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for heaven. And Father, I want to thank you for the song that Joe Berry just sang. God, we are praying that those who are lost will be saved and have a home in heaven. But for all those who are saved, we pray, God, that they'll have a safe journey home. Now, Father, we are aware of the fact that so many around us are getting closer home than ever before. And God, I pray that you'd give them a good journey. Our Father, I thank you for the song that Squire Parson used to sing. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us, our Father, in these days to want to see many boys and girls, men and women, to know heaven as their home by trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Just two or three things about this very familiar passage of Scripture. I want you to notice in the first place the departure of this young man. The Bible says the man had two sons, and the younger one came to him and said, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And then it goes on and said, and not long after that, he took his journey and went to a far country. Now, there's nothing wrong with the request of this son. It was a tradition in that Eastern society, as it is here, that they laid up in store for their children a financial gift. And so at the appropriate time, they would give them that gift. It was kind of like a starter for them to have a starter home. And of course, and quite often, they would just add on to the father's house. But it was that they would get as they were beginning to start life on their own. It was the portion of goods that followed him. It wasn't all that the father had. It was what he had allotted to them for that. And so this young man makes a request. Now, he's going out and presumably to be on his own. But he's making a drastic mistake. He's lived under the shelter of that home for all these years. He's had that fellowship, his father, and all those things. And he thought that the treasure of the father would sustain him. He thought that the gifts that God gave him, and I want everything God's got for me. Nothing wrong with me praying. And so God, give me faith, and God, give me love, and give me power. And we can have wisdom. We can have knowledge of the Word of God. God, teach me the Bible. But I want you to know, my dear friend, that you can love and you can have a knowledge of the Bible. But if you're missing that relationship with your Father, you won't be complete. You'll have a head knowledge, but it won't be burning in your heart like it did to those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Nothing wrong with the response of the Father. He gave him. There's no question. Didn't question it. Doesn't raise a question about it. The son requested, the daddy gave it to him. Aren't you glad that God will give to us? He'll share with us out of his great treasure, his great store. The Bible said if you call upon the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, sometimes he'll deal with us to where we'll understand that our request is foolishness, and he'll give us better than we asked for. But my dear friend, this young boy makes a request to his daddy and said, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he leaves the father's presence and he goes out. And I want everything God's got for me. But this young man's going to learn a vital lesson in the next few days, in the next few months. So notice not only his departure, but now look at his dilemma. Notice what it says in verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And then it says this, and he would fain had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. You're talking about a picture. His daddy gave him all this treasure that's supposed to help him get established and have a home and so on. And he goes out, and instead of doing that, he wastes it in riotous living. No investment, no purchasing of land, no building of a house, no buying of supplies. He just parties it away, and it's all gone. And then the Bible said there came a famine in the land. He didn't have anything sustaining, and he was in want. And when I was reading this passage of Scripture, once again, that word just stood out to me. And I thought about the contrast between this young man living in working in a hog farm, working with a swine, which the Jews were forbidden to do. And here he is, and he's in want. And I mean, he's got so bad that he's willing to eat the hog slop. Anybody know what hog slop is? Some of you are old enough to know. Anybody ever smelt silage? They do that for cows a lot. Doesn't smell real good. You don't think that smells good. You'll hang a 5-gallon bucket on a pole out behind the house and throw scraps in it all week long, let it sit in about 100-degree weather. It don't smell good. But he's about to eat that. I mean, he's got so low he would eat the garbage of the hog feed. And isn't it something that you can be a child of the King and have been given so many blessings of wisdom and power, and you'll settle to eat slop, hog slop, swine food, hog food, and not have the delicacies of Christ's grace and mercy? He's in a dilemma. What happened to him? Why is he like that? Why is he in that place? He had this. He had the treasure of the Father, but he's missing the touch of the Father. He's out of fellowship with him. And when he gets out of fellowship, there's a series of things that happen to him. Number one, he loses his wisdom. The Bible said he wasted his substance. He got away from the Father, and he lost his wisdom, and he wasted all that he had. Isn't it a sad thing to see somebody who's growing in the Lord, loving the Lord, excited about serving God, God speaking in their heart, showing them things, and they get out of fellowship with God, and all of a sudden they begin to waste all the biblical knowledge God gave them, waste the past experience, waste the investment of God in their life, waste the prayers of mom and dad and other folk. They waste it. They could have had it. And one thing that breaks our Heavenly Father's heart is that we live on less than we could. We're not enjoying the feast of the Lord. We're not enjoying the blessings of the Lord. And we're living a low life without any wisdom. He wasted everything. You know, if you obey God, he said, if you'll lean not to your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. He'll bless you. But if you get out of fellowship with him and try to do it on your own, you lose his wisdom. And we need his wisdom. But not only does he lose his wisdom that God gave him, but the Bible says that he lost his willpower. He knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. His daddy had taught him. And yet when he got into that far country, got out from under the canopy of the Father's love, out of fellowship with the Lord, he began to do things he would not even thought about doing at home. He wasted his substance on riotous living. He lived a lifestyle contrary to what God had told him. Now, I don't know about the older brother. I don't know what he knew and what he didn't know. But he said this about that boy. And he said, as soon as this thy son has come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. I don't know what that means, that he wasted riotous living. Perhaps it was sexual sins. Whatever it was, he got out of the will of God and he did wicked things that he knew was not right. You see, knowing right and wrong is not enough. That's what Adam and Eve thought. They thought if they would know right and wrong, they would do right and not do the wrong. But they were wrong. Knowing right and wrong is not sufficient. You've got to have the power of God to know right and wrong and then to do right. Without me, you can do nothing. And so they're out of fellowship with God and they do things that you never imagined they could do. In all these years of pastoring, I've seen people who in church and they're serving God and they get out of fellowship with God. They get out of fellowship with the church. They begin to slip away and they waste all that time, waste all the blessings of God, waste all the prayers, the Bible teaching, the Bible preaching. They begin to live away from God and they lose their wisdom and next thing you know, they're into sin and they don't have no idea how they got there. Because he said this, you pray this prayer every day, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And on down he said this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if you're out of fellowship with him, you're subject to any evil. Most of you know this, if you watch wildlife movies, anything like that, here's a whole herd of caribou, and there's a pack of wolves. And they'll follow that herd, they'll watch that herd, and what they're looking for is a caribou that has a tendency to get away from the flock. Maybe they're not as strong. Maybe they're young. And they get it when they see one like that and they separate that one from the group, that's the one they go after. The one that's outside the protection of that family. And my dear friend, you're sitting here this morning, you're listening to us on the internet. When you begin to get out of fellowship with God, you put yourself in great peril. There's no telling what the devil might do to you, no telling what he might lead you to do. And you'll make decisions without God's wisdom, and you'll do things without God's wisdom, and you will never, ever again be able to go back and change it. It'll haunt you the rest of your life. Can God forgive sin? Yes, he will. And he absolutely will. He said if we confess our sin, he's faithful just to forgive us. But the problem is there'll be scars in your life. I remember years ago, my pastor told a story about this man and his son. He said, now, son, he said, every time you do something that's wrong, I want you to drive a nail in that fence post right there at the corner. And sure enough, he did. He drove a nail in it, drove a nail in it, drove a nail in it. After a while, he just had a bunch of nails up there. And then his daddy come to him and said, "Now, son, all these things you know that you did was wrong." He said, "Yes, sir, I'm sorry." And he said, "Oh, here's a hammer. I want you to pull them out." And so he pulled all the nails out. And he looked at that post. And he said, "Daddy, I got them all out." But he said, the scars are still on the post. Can God forgive your sin? Yes. Will he forgive your sin? Yes. Will he restore your fellowship? Yes. But will you carry scars? Will you have memories that'll haunt you and the devil won't let you forget? Yes. You better stay in fellowship with the Father. Knowing who he is, knowing the Bible, walking with him is the key thing. But if you just have head knowledge and not heartfelt relationship with God, you could get in peril in no time. Oh, listen, he lost his willpower, but he lost his witness. The Bible says that he got a job, and he got a job feeding swine, feeding hogs. Jews don't do that. Jews don't do that. When you hear the story about the Gadarenian man who was possessed of the devil and he cast the demons out of him and went to herd of swine, that's over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. That's where the Gentiles live. That's why there are hogs over there. There are no hogs in and around Jerusalem. No hogs. They don't allow them in there. Hogs own the Gentile world. He's moved out and living in the Gentile world where the hogs are at. And not only that, he's out there, and he could have been a light to the Gentiles. He could have been a witness to them. But instead of doing that, he's out as a Jewish boy feeding hogs. He lost his testimony. When you get out of fellowship with God, you're not fellowship with the Father, you lose your testimony. What a blessing it is when somebody will say to you, "What is it about you makes you different? I see the power of God on you. I know you're right with God." And they come to you at work and say, "I know you love God, and we want you to pray with us. We want you to do this." They may not respond to your witness during the week. They may not do that, but I'm telling you, they watch you. And they'll see your witness. They know you're right with God. They know you love the Lord. You have the joy of the Lord. They know you care. And when the Holy Ghost of God deals with them, they're not going to go to the cussing friends down there at the canteen or wherever it's at. They're not going to go to the bar to find somebody to talk to. When they get really in a jam, they're going to come to you because you've got a testimony. And you're living in a wicked, wicked world. You don't even have to be very spiritual in America today to stand out. But we are light and salt, he said. But he's lost his witness because he's got out of fellowship with the Father. And my, what a mess he's in now, his dilemma. Oh, he's lost his wisdom. He lost his willpower. He lost his witness. He's in a mess. But now notice not only his dilemma, but I want you to notice what it says in this passage in his declaration. Notice what he says. Verse number 17, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as a hired servant.'" He's a son now. Remember that. Can a saved person get out in the hog pen? Yes. Can a saved person get into sin? Yes. What sin can a saved person commit? Any sin. You can be saved and you can get so far away from the Father, you can get out in the flesh. But my dear friend, God didn't want you there. And he says this, he says, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare?" I'm going to tell you something. He's not talking about bread. He's talking about his father. He's talking about what a good daddy he had. He's talking about what a godly father he had. He's talking about his compassion, that even his servants, he gives them above and beyond what they absolutely need. He knows the heart of his daddy. And he says, "I want to go back. I want to get back to that. Just having his gifts is not enough. I've got away from him. I'm out of fellowship with him. And what I need to do is get back to the Father. It's not the palace I'm looking for. It's not all his possessions that I'm looking for, but it's my daddy. I want to get back to the Father. I will go back to my father and I'll say to him, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son." He's got to get to the daddy. He's got to get back right with God. Oh, he wants to get back. Wouldn't you like to get back? Wouldn't you like to get back in fellowship? Remember those days of glorious fellowship? I mean, when God was real. I was thinking the other day when Randy was preaching, and he's talking about him getting saved. I got saved when I was a young boy, and a preacher named Ted James and an evangelist. Don't remember the evangelist. We had a revival at the church. Boy, God really did deal with my heart that night. And the next day, they pulled up in my yard. And you were here at camp meeting a few years ago when they gave me that glider that we got from Trudy's mama, and Brother Craig did such a fantastic job on fixing it up. If you come to the house, it sits right on the side porch, right where everybody can see it. And I remember when they came in, and I went out in the front yard, and I thought they was going to talk to mama. And they there just a few minutes, came right on out the door. And Ted said, Brother James said, Brother Billy, can we talk to you? And I said, yeah. We went and sat on mama's old glider, and I sat right between those two men of God, and he took the Bible, and he led me to Christ. And I trusted Jesus. And while Randy was preaching on the night, I remembered when I got baptized. We didn't have baptism at Calvary Baptist Church. I mean, we didn't have a place to baptize. So we went down to the Rosemary Baptist Church. They let us use it on a Sunday afternoon. And I went back to the back. It was set up a little bit different than ours. And so mama was out in the congregation. I don't know if any of the family was there. I know mama was there. A right many people there, other people been baptized on that Sunday afternoon. And I remember when he baptized me and I came out of that, out of the backside of that church, I had to come out and come all the way back around. And I remember when I got back there and I dried off and slipped on my clothes. Nobody back there but just me. But I had to come out and come all the way around the church. But when I stepped out of that church, I don't think the sun's ever been as bright as it was shining that day. I'm telling you right now, I can remember it right now. And I got Holy Ghost bumps right now just thinking about it. Boy, I just felt so good and so clean. It wasn't no baptismal water. It was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleansed me. But my obedience to him in baptism, I had that experience. And I thought about it. Oh, listen, that was just the beginning. So many days I've had glorious fellowship with him. He's more real to me than you were. I tell you, I've had it where God was like a heavy cloud around me. The joy of the Lord filled my soul. I couldn't contain myself. I've known it when I was riding down the road and just singing and praising God, and he was real. Just like he was there, just like I was talking to him person to person, which I really was. You remember those days? Remember those days when you didn't have haunting memories about your failure, and you didn't have bitterness, you didn't have unforgiving spirit, and just between you and God, everything was good, and you just, the glory of God was all over you, and the presence of God was all over you, and you had joy unspeakable and full of glory. You remember that? Wouldn't you like to go back to that? This boy said, that's what I want. I'm not interested in his food. I'm not interested in his treasure. I want to get back to the Father. I want to be in fellowship with him. Remember those days of glorious fellowship? You remember those days when you prayed fervent prayer? Remember those days when you didn't know what to say or how to say it, but when you prayed, it was real? Remember when you got saved and you wanted everybody else saved and you kneel somewhere, you walk somewhere, or maybe in your car or even somewhere else? But you'd begin to pray, and it got so real. You knew God was hearing you. Your heart would break, and you'd just fellowship in prayer, and you'd talk to him, and you believed he was hearing you. You believed he'd do something. Remember those days? Remember those days when you come to him with heavy burdens on your heart, and you prayed through like the old people said, and when you came to that point, and you said, God, I'm going to give it all to you, and you really did, and you turned it loose, and there was just a release in your spirit, and you said, oh, hallelujah. God, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know why, but God, you're going to take care of it, and I have that peace in my heart, and you could rejoice and praise him for that. You remember those days when you prayed like that? Remember those days when you first got to reading your Bible good and you got to read it? Man, you'd see something again. I mean, it just come off the page at you. I mean, when they were marching around the city of Jericho, you could hear the swords. You could hear the footsteps of the people going around Jericho. You could see the dust under their sandals as they were walking. And then when they blew that horn, man, it just gave you cold chills. You just can imagine what it must have been like. And then when the walls began to crumble and fall straight down, oh, listen to the pile of dust that erupted and the scream of the people on the inside and the rejoicing of God's people. I'm talking about it wasn't Mickey Mouse. It was real to you then. When you begin to read the story of Calvary, how that they beat him with a cat of nine tails and they smote him. And when you read that, it got so real to you. I mean, you could hear the hammer ring And you could hear him, my God, why has thou forsaken me? You could see him when he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And it was just like you was there. Remember that? Remember when you used to read the Bible like that and it'd get real? Remember when you read the Bible and God speak peace to your heart? Remember when you'd read the Bible and God would say to you, that's what I want you to do. And you say, oh God, please forgive me. I hadn't been doing this. I hadn't been doing that. And boy, there was a peace in your heart when he spoke to you through the Word of God. Remember that? Remember that when the Bible was so good you couldn't hardly stand it? I mean, you loved to hear preaching, loved to hear singing, couldn't wait to get to the house of God, couldn't wait to get in your Sunday school class, couldn't wait to get up and read the Bible in the morning. I want to go back. Wouldn't you like to get back in fellowship with the Father? Wouldn't you like to get back to those times of prevailing prayer? Wouldn't you like to get back to those times when you're reading the Word of God was there? Wouldn't you like to get back to those times when it was a daily walk with Him? Daily. I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day of the week. He's real. On the way to work, at work, everywhere else, He was with you. I love Easter. Love everything about Easter. I love that one song. I don't know why where we don't sing it more. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Oh, listen, you ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. But He says this, He walks with me along life's narrow way. Remember those days when He was as real as anything and you knew He was with you all day long? And you say, Lord, thank you for that. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that. You see His hand, just a little thing, but you see it all day long because you was in tune with Him. Wouldn't you like to go back to those days? Wouldn't you like to go back? This boy said, I want to go home. I want to get back home. I know my daddy's got plenty of food. I know he's good to his servants, but I want to get back home. It's my daddy I really miss. I want to get back to be with Him. I want to get back in that place of fellowship with Him. I want to get close to Him. You see, worldliness, we look at the crowd, you know, on TV and we say, boy, they're wicked, they're worldly. But we don't measure worldliness by how close we are to the world, but by how far we're away from the Father. Oh, we're not doing what they're doing. We're not doing those things. But you know yourself, you're not close to Him as you used to be. You know yourself, you don't feel Him. You know yourself, you don't have that peace. You don't have that joy. That's what He's missing. He's not missing the sausages. He's not missing the fried chicken. He's not missing that food, the treasures, the beauty of that palace, a home. He's missing that Father. They said, I want to go back to Him. Oh, but will you quickly let me show you His delight? He's got his speech all made up. God, the Holy Ghost has convicted him. He came to himself and he's coming back. And he's coming back expecting for God to hold, for the Father to hold everything against him. He's wasted all the Father's living, wasted it all. And he said, Lord, Father, I know I'm not worthy to be called a son. Just make me a servant. He's got his speech all made up. He said, I feel like I'm the lowest Christian. I'm the worst Christian in the world. I'm out of fellowship. And he comes honestly, and you come honest before the Father, and you're expecting him to say, well, I'll forgive you, but you got to sit over here, and you got to do this, got to do that, and the other. Can I tell you, it don't ever work that way. It don't ever. This Father is nothing compared to your Father. Oh, listen, He delights in showing mercy and grace. He delights in forgiving. He delights in restoration. And notice this boy's delight. He makes that long journey back. And while he was a great way off, the Father saw him. And he came running to him. That son fully expected that by the law, he could have taken him to the gate of the city and have him stoned, or he could put his foot on his neck and make him a servant. He really didn't want to be stoned. And so evidently he fell on the ground prostrate before his Father. He was expecting to feel his foot on him, and he'll say, son, I forgive you, but you'll not be a son in my house. You'll be a servant in my quarters. You won't be able to have the privilege of sonship. You won't be able to fellowship with me anymore. We won't be doing any fishing. We won't be doing this, that, and the other. You can't eat at my table. I'll feed you just like I do the servants, like everybody else. You'll be just like them and not like my son. That's what he's expecting. In fact, that's the best thing he'd get. That's what he's expecting. But he did not feel his foot of judgment on his neck. He felt the kiss of pardon on his neck. The Bible said the father saw him a great way off. He ran to him, and it says he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Oh, can I tell you what he wants to do today? He wants to forgive you, restore you. He said, bring forth that best robe. I know I've explained this. Some of you remember it. But I've read and studied about that. Oh, Dr. Billy Cano in Greensboro did the best I've ever heard. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it blessed me. He said, when a Jewish child is dedicated to the Lord, they put a little robe on him, a little white, pure robe, sinless looking. Means he's a sinless person, sinless child, and they dedicate him to God. He's newborn, but he's innocent. And he said this, what they did is they dedicate those babies. Then they'd put that robe up. For when that baby got grown and had a baby, they'd pull that best robe out and they'd put on his newborn babe and they'd be just like they never sinned. You know what he did? When that boy came back, he called and he said, bring that best robe out here. And he took that little robe, that little robe that he was dedicated in, and laid it over his shoulders. And he said, son, as far as I'm concerned, you're just as clean and innocent as the day you were born. And can I tell you right now, I got born again by the grace of God, and I've been out in the world, and I've sinned and disobeyed. But whenever I come, he said, he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He meant it. And he'll say, you're just like you were when you got born again by the grace of God. He loves you. He doesn't put any restrictions on you. Matter of fact, He didn't consign him to the servanthood. He said, by the way, kill that fatted calf. Amen. I took him and put him in there when he was just a little feller, and I was praying for him, my son to come home, and I told you to feed that calf and get him good and fat because my boy is coming home, and when he did, we was going to have a feast. And here he is. Rejoice with me. This my son that was dead is alive, and he's back home now. Kill that fatted calf. Boy, they killed that fatted calf, and they had a feast. And God will bless you. Put a ring on his finger. That was a sign of the symbol of the approval of the father. And everywhere that boy went, it was just like his daddy was there. He could seal documents and everything else with that signet ring of the family. He said, you're returned. And then he said, put shoes on his feet. Servants didn't wear shoes. They were not allowed to wear shoes. But he said, he's not a servant. He's my son. Welcome home. Welcome home. Can I tell you what he'll do for you today? If you confess your sin, he's faithful just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can leave out of here, thank God for coming to homecoming, but you can come back to Jesus today and you can get out of here and you can have fellowship with him and he'd be real to you and God will use you for witness. Will you bow your heads and pray with every head bowed, every eye closed? Thank God that he'll let you come home. Thank God. Boy, I love that song, Brother Joe Bear. That was a good song. Every song you ever sung was good, but that was really good too. When I pray for the truckers on my Highway Shepherd CDs, I pray that you'll arrive safely at home in heaven. Pray God to take care of the families, bless them on the highway, give them plenty of work, keep their trucks running good. And then I say, but I'm a praying today that you'll arrive safely at home in heaven someday. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to end up in heaven someday. But you don't have to wait till you come home to him in fellowship, relationship. If you don't have the fullness of God in you this morning, if you don't have the joy of the Lord in your soul, if you don't have the peace of God that passed on understanding, that's why he died. He wants you to have that. It ain't his fault. We let things get in. We let things bother us. We let things just wear us to death. We get out of fellowship with him. We lose our wisdom. We do things what not to do, say things what not to say, commit sin. But he did say this, if you'll confess your sin, he's faithful to just forgive you. I'm telling you right now, you can have a personal revival. He'll welcome you home. He won't throw it up in your face. He'll welcome you and say, this is my child. You're my boy. Oh, listen, he'll welcome you home. Heavenly Father, I think I did what you want me to do, and I pray now that God's people will do what you want them to do. God, please don't let me get out of fellowship with you. Lord, I want to walk close to you. I want to have your anointing. I want to have fellowship with you. Pray, God, you'd give me that joy. I pray to show up on my face and in my life. God, I pray people look at it and want to know the reason for the hope that's in me. God, of all that's going on in this world, God, help me to love your Bible more. Help me to love you more. Stay closer to you than I ever have. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would help me, Lord Jesus, to do that. God, I pray for my friends here in the building this morning. Lord, I pray if they're in that state, if they've got cold, God, I pray they'll come clean before you this morning, be honest, and God, they'll leave here refreshed and blessed. Now, while we are praying, friends, I invite you to come around this altar if you'd like to, but right there where you are, I'd invite you to do this. If you're not where you ought to be, would you say, Father, I want to come home. I want to get right with you. I want to be in fellowship with you. I want to be close to you. God, whatever it is in my life, God, show it to me. I confess my sin. God, purge me. God, take away everything. Help me, Lord Jesus, to seek you and love you and be in fellowship with you. God, I pray that, God, that you'd forgive me and restore me. Help me to love you and serve you. You pray a prayer like that. If you're here in the building or in the radio audience, you're not a Christian. I believe this parable relates primarily to the children of God. It says they were son when he was a son when he left, he's a son when he came home. But I want you to know something. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means sinners. They accused Jesus of having fellowship with sinners. But he said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came that you might come, that you might be saved. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you're not saved in the audience on the internet or radio this morning, or if you're not saved here in this building, I promise you, if you'll come to him in simple faith, confessing your sin, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, he'll make you a brand new Christian. Your name will be written in heaven, and heaven will be your home. And he'll carry you safely along the way. Our Heavenly Father, please do now what no man can do, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Do a work in your people. Let's stand together. And whatever God leads you to do, Miss Cindy's playing right now. We're going to give you a few minutes. We won't extend it long. But if God's leading you to do anything, rededicate your life to the Lord, get before God in this altar, whatever it is, I invite you to do it and do what God would have you to do. We just wait on God. Let you have time to meet with him a few minutes. If you don't have anything to pray about, you pray about me and my family. I need him. I want to be closer to him in these last days. What day I wrote in my journal this morning, Lord, you've been so good to me and you've blessed me and been so many places, seen your presence and power, seen the beauty of your creation. God, whatever days you have allotted for me now, I pray, God, that the last days of my life will be the most profitable. God, help me to be the most useful. Have the presence and power like never before. That's what I long for more than anything else. Be close to him. Be used by him. Maybe you need to pray a prayer like that. Many around the altar, you won't be the only one here. Many have come and some have slipped back already. But you obey Christ this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I'm sure glad you welcome us home. Not one time, Lord, have I disobeyed you or got out of fellowship with you that I didn't come back and find you waiting. Feel your embrace, your forgiveness and cleansing. Lord, I don't know why I sometimes wait so long. Don't know why, Lord, I just wrestle with it like this boy. Don't feel worthy to even ask you to forgive me. But God, you never have thrown up my face. You never have, Lord, just told me no. You've always blessed. You've always loved me. Lord, it's hard for us to comprehend you as God, that you love us with an everlasting love, that you don't love us more when we're good than we're not right with you. You love us the same when we're in the far country as you do when we're on the front porch. God, you want us to be home, want us to be in fellowship with you, want to be blessed by your word, want to experience your presence, want us to have joy unspeakable, full of glory, want us to be a witness for you. But God, you love us regardless of who we are, where we are. But God, oh, what great benefit there is to being clean, to being right with you, being led by the Holy Ghost of God. God, please do that for me and for all of our friends here today. Lord, don't let anybody die lost in the building or in the media audience. Bring them under Holy Ghost conviction. Know that you're there with them right now, and all they've got to do is repent of their sin and turn to the Savior, and they can be saved. And I'll thank you and praise you, give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.